Hello, hello, friends. I am Yasmin Tiana, and you are listening to Letters from Saturn. Letters from Saturn is a podcast about my personal stories surrounding self-discovery, self-improvement, womanhood, and all of the things that come along with it. We are getting vulnerable, we are getting interpersonal, and we are getting real. Hey guys, I'm not in my usual recording space today, so things may or may not sound better or worse, depending on like the acoustics, but I'm not too much of a technical girl, so if it sounds bad, I won't put it out, but I'm hoping it'll sound better because I think I'm in a quieter environment than usual, but it's different, so things are gonna sound different today. With that being said, today we're gonna be talking about being in your body and the importance of it. We are also gonna be discussing how to know when you are operating in your body versus outside of it. And we are gonna be discussing methods to bring you back to yourself. So without further ado, let's really get into it, y'all. But first off, let's start by saying many people do not know that they are not operating fully in their bodies. Many of us for many years have been suppressing our emotions and harboring stagnant energies in our bodies and energetic systems for years. So let's address that. Like for me personally, I cannot begin to describe the impact being in my body has had on my life. I had just built up so much trauma, so much anger, and displaced emotion in my body that when I did start to feel, I felt a fucking lot. And I still do. I just think I have a much better grasp on how to feel my emotions without attaching myself to them and spiraling. And you know me, aqua rising, queen of detachment. But right now I am, like, if you guys check out your progress chart, Astro Girlies, you may have a different rising sign than you were born with right now. So like, I am currently progressing into my Pisces rising years. So this should be really interesting, an interesting phase in my life. I already feel the effects because I believe in my chart was at like 29 degrees Aquarius, like my rising sign at the end of the year. So I now believe that going into January, I have now progressed to be a Pisces rising. It doesn't mean that I still, that I lose any of my Aquarius rising, like natal charts, but you know, things are cyclical, and especially in astrology, you know, with the 12 signs and the 12 houses, like we all experience different parts of each sign, but your natal chart kind of gives you like a snapshot in the sky of how you were born and how things may unfold for you in your life, but nothing is set in stone. So this like newfound perspective and feeling my emotions is something that's really new to me. So like I said before, I'm just feeling a fucking lot. And in the beginning of my journey, there was my emotional journey, I would say. There was a lot of shame and I didn't feel confident in my own expression. So I curled up in a little ball to protect myself. And this is why people say posture is so important, because when you curl up in a little ball, not just mentally, but physically too, like your posture reflects that, and you're literally closing off your heart chakra. And it's just so sad. And I literally felt myself doing that this past weekend. And I feel myself doing that every time that I get outside of my, my cultivated environment, things that I have control over. And you know what? I'm really trying to like release this control, but it's hard, y'all. It's hard. But you know, we keep it cute here on Letters from Saturn always, but that shit is hard, y'all. And I know some of y'all are definitely feeling me hearing this, especially with the pandemic and stuff, at least for the people who have been doing it the way that I have. I'm not gonna say anything's right or wrong, but you know, trying to protect yourself and really like being in isolation, especially for the time that we were like in quarantine and being alone and only being with your immediate environment and people who you spend like your days with. So like getting outside of that and being in unfamiliar environments for me is more uncomfortable because I have not exercised that extroverted part of myself for a very long time. Like the introverted part of myself has gotten very comfortable. You know, that's interesting because, you know, I'm a Leo, right? I'm a Leo sun, and people think of Leos as like this extroverted energy and things like that. And sure, I can be in the right environment, but the pandemic and quarantine and stuff like that has really just got me thinking about the ways in which I spread my energy and how sometimes I can spread myself a little bit too thin and how sometimes not everybody is deserving of my energy. So I pulled myself back from a lot of like social spaces. I pulled myself back from a lot of social spaces and from people in environments that I didn't feel like were serving me very well. So I was very much in control of my environment. And I still think that I am, but in the little moments, the tiny moments, and the big moments that do require you to, like, you know, step outside of yourself, meet new people, get outside of your head, be with people who you are not familiar with, make me extra uncomfortable now. Extra uncomfortable. But we're working on it. And that's why being in your body is so important. And especially with me having a lot of energies concentrated in my seventh house, Astro Girlies, y'all know the seventh house is the house of partnership and just relationships with others. Like I have a seventh house stellium. So it's very important for me to cultivate meaningful relationships in my life. And I can't do that if I'm always in my head. So this is why I think this was the perfect time for this episode to be recorded, because I literally just experienced myself retreat into places that I don't want to be any longer. And I think my experiences could possibly help others. And like, I hate that I've grown to be this way, or that I had grown to be this way, because I'm actively trying to, you know, get out of that space. But protecting myself to me at certain points in my life was really just shutting down, until I discovered by combing through my emotions that the only thing that was making me ill was myself and the way I internalize certain things that happened to me, and I internalize certain events in my life. Because as I've mentioned before, and I will mention a bunch of other times, we create our own reality. So if you sit in your head self-victimizing, thinking that everybody hates you, your reality is gonna reflect that. You're gonna be looking for moments to find that everybody hates you in every second. Even though you may be a very loving person, and people may love to be around you, you're gonna find ways to make yourself believe that everybody hates you. And that's sick, y'all, it's sick. So many of us do it to ourselves. And I think, especially our generation Z, we are anxiety ridden, especially with our phones and us literally always having our heads in the internet and our phones. Always. Like, there's impacts to that, and I know people are studying that right now, but we're really gonna find out as we start to get older and we start to realize how these things actually impact us. And see, the thing about internalization is that even if you try to trick your brain into disregarding all of your traumas, your body remembers. Your body will always remember. And this is why a lot of women hold a lot of tension in their hips and sacral chakra area. Because for a lot of women, we have grown up in a society that finds any way to try to shame and disempower us for our feminine expression, whether that be our sensuality, our sexuality, or simply our own vocal expression. We have literally been policed from the moment that we came out the womb. Oh, your hair look like that. Your hair shouldn't look like that. You, like, oh, your nails this color. Your nails shouldn't be that color. Your nails is red. You know what red nails mean, right? Especially being a Black woman and constantly being told to shrink yourself or that you're doing too much when you're simply just being. You're simply just living in the embodiment of yourself
And for a lot of us, we have to do that unprogramming. We have to do that reprogramming. But I'm so grateful that it's our generation that is doing this healing work, because our kids ain't gonna be nothing like how we were. They're not gonna be like us. I'm speaking for myself, but I feel like there's so many strong Black women in this generation who are gonna do what they gotta do. And even, not just Black women, largely, even men are taught from a young age to disregard and disrespect the feminine. And the exclusion being places that honor and respect the divinity of feminine energy regardless of gender, because, you know, gender is a social construct. I shouldn't have to explain that. And I won't. I'm not going to explain that on this podcast. If you need to know that gender is a social construct, I suggest you Google it. Like, not even trying to be rude or anything, but it's 2022. I'm not explaining that. But I could talk about this for hours, but I won't, unless y'all want an episode on feminine energy. Even if y'all don't, I'm probably gonna record one, because that's what I wanna do. But let me know if y'all have, like, if y'all actually wanna hear that. But this is why taking up space is so important, and why a huge part of being in your body is taking up space. Taking up space in both the physical and metaphysical sense. Sitting up tall, making your presence known when you're in the room, even when you know it's already been felt. Stop making yourself smaller. And I'm really saying that to myself, because I just experienced that, right? Because I know my presence is felt when I walk in the room. I know I have that certain type of energy when I step into a space. And it's not even no cocky-ish, y'all. Like, I just know I'm that girl. But sometimes I can feel that, and it causes me to want to shrink myself. And I don't mean just being loud just to be loud. But if that's you, do what you want. Do what you please, because this is your body. And if that's how you want to take up space in your body, take up space in your body like that. I mean, personally for me, I mean contributing when you have something to say. Stop questioning and overthinking your talents, your God-given talents. Have faith in yourself and what is in your heart, which is so important. To, like, really sit up tall, like, this is why we talk about posture. Like, stop rounding your back. Like, stop shrinking yourself. Take up space, bro. Like, stop shrinking yourself for the comfort of others. For the comfort of others, stop being a people pleaser. Be yourself. And I know it's easier said than done, which is why I've created this episode. But for me, the process of being in my body started with me using things outside of my body to get to that feeling that I now know is being in my body. At first, these external things helped me to tap into my rawest and purest energy and express that to others, because it made me grounded enough to be able to be like, I'm here, and what about it? And being yourself unabashedly is a fucking high, man. Like, that's a real natural high. You don't need anything else for that. But if you don't know who you are, how would you know if you are operating in your body or not? You wouldn't. You need to spend time with yourself, being present to know how your body naturally responds to its environment and how it reacts when presented with something unfamiliar. And I literally just experienced this firsthand. Like, this is the first time I'm conscious enough to realize the way that my body reacts when I'm not comfortable in a space. I shrink myself. Well, I used to, because that's not me anymore. Honey, we're not shrinking ourselves anymore. But I did tell you, I just did that a couple of days ago, right? But I'm not identifying with that part of myself, because now that I, like, that was a test, me getting outside of my familiar environment and going into another one in which I had to continue being, like, the fullest expression of myself. But when I didn't, I noticed what triggered me to make me want to be smaller. And it was me being in my head rather than being in my body. And that happens when I lose touch with my routine and my structure. And a lot of people, even me before I went on this journey, do not take the time to spend with themselves. And even if you do, like what I just said, it takes practice and presence and consciously knowing when you're not, when you're in your head and not your body. And unfortunately, most people are met with substances that help them feel more grounded and in their bodies before they learn how to do it on their own. And then they become dependent on these things because they feel like it's the food or the alcohol or the drugs, yes, weed included, that's giving them this sensation of being grounded and in their body. When in reality, alcohol, for example, taps into your Muladhara, your root chakra, and your root chakra really sets it all off. Like, for example, the alcohol that you consume allows you to feel more comfortable in your own body, enough so that people start saying the things that they really want to say, doing the things that they normally wouldn't do, but being who they really are. That's the reason people say alcohol shows you people's true colors. Like, people mean everything that they do when they're drunk. Because they do. And it's because it shifts your energy. The alcohol taps into your root chakra. And I believe other people can consciously and unconsciously pick up on that energy, because it's a shift within the way your body is energetically moving. But if you drink too much, the root chakra becomes unbalanced and the energy goes up and out and people black out and don't remember what happened in reality, and when in reality they were doing all type of crazy ting. And that is why alcohol is called spirits. And that's all I'm gonna say about that. But it can be used responsibly. And it is interesting to note that it does help people feel more comfortable in their skin. Like, I'm gonna give y'all another example. I had a group partner my last semester in college, and she used to take a shot every time our group had to present. I wouldn't call her addicted or anything. Like, I feel like that, like, that's drastic, and I'm not a professional, but maybe professionals would call her that. But she used alcohol as a means to feel more comfortable in her body. It gave her a sense of worth and belonging and made her feel comfortable enough to speak her truth. It had a way of overriding her anxiety. This sort of dependency can turn into addiction if one doesn't find healthier ways of feeling secure in themselves or their environment. And I'm not judging, because we all have our vices, but I think it's super, super important to note the ways in which we are surviving instead of living, and the ways in which we cope, and see if we can maybe switch them out for healthier ways of being in our body. I'm going to be talking about the healthier ways of practicing being in your body and the ways I personally do it in the next segment. But for now, let's stick with really understanding what it means to be in your body and the energetic implications of it. The reason for a lot of people why they can't find security in their body is because their thoughts are having a wrestling match in their head. And our intrusive thoughts have a way of telling our body to shut down. That's why it's important to be in tune with what our bodies are telling us, how things make us feel in our bodies, how people make us feel in our bodies, how foods make us feel, and how we make ourselves feel. Because at the end of the day, that's the most important relationship you have. It's very important. I think it's the most important mission that we have. For the mind, the body, and the soul to feel connected. 333. That's what that number means to me, and I've been seeing it often. And whenever I see it, I know it means that I need to bring things into balance, like my mind, body, and soul. Like, one of them is out of whack, and one of them needs a little bit extra fine tuning. Or it's telling me that I'm in balance and that it's commending me, like the angels are commending me for that. or it can be the other way, depending on my circumstances. And that's why angel numbers mean what they mean to you, because it's not, some people think that it's the angels talking to them, and yeah, it can be, but I think it's really my higher self and my ancestors talking to me. But I know my Ori and my higher self is one of the most important beings sending me energetic lessons. But when the mind, body, and soul aren't connected, the contrast is usually reflected in our external environment. So for example, when the root chakra is balanced and aligned, a person feels at peace and secure in themselves and the stability of their environment. It's the first and lowest chakra. So in order to tap into it, you have to feel grounded and worthy in your groundedness. And for those of us who may have experienced instability early or at any point in our lives, may have unbalanced root chakra centers. Excuse me. Now, astro girlies, y'all may think that the way that based on the way I present myself and the fact that Taurus is in my fourth house, like I told y'all that I'm an Aquarius rising, so that informs a lot about yourself. And the fourth house in the zodiac wheel represents the home, family, structures, etc., etc. In Taurus, the Venusian planet rules beauty, pleasure, and sensuality. And just seeing that at face value, just knowing that I'm an Aquarius rising, you could assume that I had a very stable and beautiful childhood. Beautiful, I have come to see it now, but it fluctuated a lot in terms of stability. Like, I have Saturn and Jupiter there in my fourth house. And that's kind of a catch-22, because in terms of my birth chart, it's saying, hey, you will experience extreme abundance in this lifetime, Jupiter, but you will also experience some perceived restrictions and perceived hardships during this time, but will overcome them and blessings will rain down on you. Pressure creates diamonds type of energy. And fun fact, Saturn on the planet rains diamonds. And I believe Jupiter too, but y'all can fact check me on that. But I know 100% that on Saturn it rains diamonds. And that's really funny because, you know, they do say pressure creates diamonds. And if any one planet is putting the pressure on you, it's Saturn. So I know firsthand what an unbalanced root chakra and root center can feel like. And as y'all know, Saturn is my chart ruler. So wherever Saturn is in my birth chart is really important. And it's just as important as the Aquarius placement, right? As my rising, because that informs just as much. So because Saturn is in Taurus, I kind of consider Taurus my second rising sign, because it has just as much importance as my rising sign in my birth chart, which is why I kind of consider myself Saturnal and Venusian, which those planets, I feel like they love to work together. They're similar, even though people may think of Saturn as raw or Saturn and Venus as beauty, love, joy, Venusian. Venus also wants you to create the structure, stability, to maintain the routines in order to create the beauty in your life. So they work really well together. But back to the root chakra. An unbalanced root chakra can swing both ways. One can have an underactive or an overactive Muladhara chakra. An underactive root chakra looks like fear. Fear of not knowing where the next something is going to come from. Fear of there not being enough. Now, being an adult, I can see that this fear of lack is an illusion and there is always more than enough. But as a child, it is impossible to see this because you are relying on your parents to show you that there is more than enough. And if your parents have not healed their Muladhara chakras, they too have this fear of instability and there not being enough. And this likely stems from the fact that their parents too had unbalanced root chakras. This is why this intergenerational healing work is so important, right? especially for us Black people of the diaspora, who were completely stripped away from their homes, their families, and were completely uprooted from their sense of stability, and were forced to rely on survival from somebody who didn't give a damn about their survival, only about their bodies as a means to drive profit. And then after that, being forced to live on the same land as their capturers and play by their damned rules. No wonder why our root centers are generationally damaged. This is healing work that needs to be done. And I'm doing it right now in my family, because I know that's a part of what I came here to do. And I plan to do it on a larger scale and inspire other people to do this intergenerational healing work as well. And I want y'all to hold me to that. Keep me accountable when I may not be keeping myself accountable, but I am. I'm trying. But if y'all see me slipping, I want y'all to hold me accountable, because it's so important, so much bigger than me, so much bigger than me and my family. This is real work that I'm doing outside of this podcast, but real work that I want to really be something that I leave behind as my legacy, and it's something that makes me emotional, because it's something that's so important and something that's so much bigger than me. But an overactive root chakra looks like the opposite of that. Rather than fearing where the next meal, the next check, the next whatever is going to come from, an overactive muladhara has an addiction to security, has an addiction to the material. And it can manifest as someone placing way too much value on things because it makes them feel safe. People who overwork themselves because they're so scared to going back to how things used to be, placing so much emphasis on the material, they forget about the universal, abundant, limitless source. People who experience this feeling feel as if Bob, like their boss, is the one providing them the security and stability rather than our limitless God, our limitless source, right? And if you can't see why that is a problem, then I don't know what to tell you. Capitalism, honey. Like, it is a problem. And fearing where money is going to come from and holding onto your money so tight is the same problem. There's a difference between financial security and being responsible with your money rather than hoarding it. But listen, I'm still working towards feeling stable and responsible in my finances. That Pisces in the second house be beating my ass. But it also makes me very dreamy and allows me to have the inner knowing that money is an energy and that I can easily attune to it. I just am working towards having some more order, structure, and discipline there, you know? Because it just wasn't taught to me. And I'm learning and picking it up as I go. Kind of off topic, but I want to talk a little bit more about discernment in another podcast episode, because I feel like I didn't talk about it enough in the last episode. So let me know if y'all want an episode where I go more in depth about discernment as a concept and a practice. I probably will do it anyways, because I feel like it's a huge part of the shadow. So after I talk about that, I'll probably talk about discernment a little bit more and about feminine energy. And I also want to talk about the dark feminine, but y'all will see. And you know, it would be remiss for me to talk about the root chakra and not talk about our actual roots. You know, knowing where you come from, having pride in that, and in your lineage is something that helps promote a stable root chakra. Connecting with your ancestors and your lineage is considered fourth house Saturn remediation, actually. And in my case, with both Saturn and Jupiter there, I have found that connecting to my roots and connecting with the history of my ancestors has helped me connect to that sense of stability and worthiness that is intrinsically in each and every one of us. And this has helped me to tap into a whole new world of abundance that is beyond the physical. I'm still learning how to really tap into it fully and completely and wholeheartedly, but just that little practice of me, you know, communicating with my ancestors and really getting in touch with that has helped me so much. Being in tune with your body's energetic system and the different parts of it and how your body feels when it's in alignment versus a part of you being out of alignment with the whole of you is so important. And now I could sit here and make the whole episode about the chakra system, but I will not. Although being in alignment with all energetic systems and having them in flow is the goal, at least for me. But without being grounded and rooted, the integrity of the other chakra systems are compromised. Because how can you focus on expansion and growth if you don't feel like your needs are being met? You will always be looking at things from the glass as half empty rather than the glass as half full. So no matter what you get, no matter how many things and accolades you acquire, you will always feel like the rug can be pulled from under you at any moment, which is why it is so important. It is fucking tantamount. I would scream it from the top of Mount Everest if I could, to be able to cultivate that inner stability that is not reliant on external circumstances. The goal, my goal specifically, is to be able to be steady, rooted, grounded, even if the ground below me is shaking. What has really helped me to be able to get that feeling of groundedness internally, regardless of what is going on in my external environment, is yoga, honestly. Like, I owe a huge part of my inner peace and my solace to the practice of yoga. And not just yoga, but practices like yoga allow you to connect mind, body, and spirit by causing you to be extremely present in both your mind and body. And when those two things connect, you can reach and listen to your spirit. Now, I don't meditate in the traditional sense as much as I would like to. It's one of my goals for 2022, or just in general, because what the fuck is a 2022? Like, is it even 2022, y'all? We're not gonna get into that. But throughout the past year, yoga has really become my solace and my form of meditation. If you've ever done any yoga, you know we end practices in Shavasana, or corpse pose. At first hearing that, the name corpse pose, you're like, what the hell? But the reason that is the name, because in this position you are at your most relaxed and you're really just letting it all go, total release, similar to death, you know? It's almost like going to sleep. In Islam, sleep is actually related really closely to death, which is really interesting to find out. Because this point of no thoughts in Shavasana, quiet and still mind, complete stillness of the mind and body, it's the goal of Shavasana. And during Shavasana, there are no expectations except to be present and to allow what comes to come, but allow it to also go and leave as well. And I don't go to a yoga studio or anything. I have learned to practice on YouTube from Black women instructors, and I am looking to get my yoga teacher's certification soon. Gotta put in my 200 hours, I think. But I'll put the links in the show notes to some of my favorite YouTube yogis. I love Ariana Elizabeth, Black Yogi Nico, and Brown and Bendy. Although I don't really go to Brown and Bendy for her yoga videos, more so her flexibility of mind, because that's literally her thing. She said, my channel is about the flexibility about the mind, the body, and the soul. But she does have a couple of yoga videos up, I believe, if you wanted to check that out. I just highly recommend her. She's so brilliant. She really inspires me. I also love Ali Journey Junkie's videos. And if you are interested in the chakras, energetic system, and Kundalini yoga, I sincerely recommend her. If you know any more like traditional practitioners and that you would like to recommend me, so that I would be able to go to them for like Kundalini and chakra yoga, I would love that. But she's not Black. I don't know her ethnic makeup or anything, but she really pays respect to the traditions, and I feel really comfortable and at home in her practice. So that's why I'm recommending her. I recently did 108 sun salutations with her, actually, the day after the winter solstice. And 108 sun salutations is something yogis do to honor the change in seasons. The theme of the 108 salutations I did was surrender, but more specifically surrendering to the darkness. Because we're in the winter season, which is a time of rest, but also surrender to the longer nights and your shadow. And yeah, we're going to be talking about the shadow a little bit more in the next episode, so I won't like spoil that or go into that a little bit too much, but doing 108 sun salutations to honor and welcome in the winter season really helped me get my body energetically aligned for the winter season. But another thing that helps me ground down into my body is praying. I'm not Christian or anything. I don't consider myself a Christian. I don't consider myself necessarily religious, more so spiritual, even though I learn from a lot of religious practices. As I said in the last episode, I am learning a lot about Islam, and I'm really interested in learning more about that. But yeah, right now what I do is, I'm not going to go too much into that, but right now what I do is I say four prayers every rising. And the first thing I do is to pray to my Ori. Shout out to Ehime Ora for introducing me to the Ifa tradition and to the daily practices of praying to my Ori. Follow her on Twitter or subscribe to her Patreon. She be dropping the ancestral gems. I'll put her information in the show notes. I am not initiated into the Ifa tradition, Lukimi or Isheshe, just to note, but I do pray to my Ori every day. When I wake up, I ask my Ori to lead me to victory. I pray to my Ori every day because your Ori is your higher self, and this practice helps ground me in the morning enough so that I am present with my higher self, and it helps me to stabilize and have a steady mind and steady my mind, and helps to create a solid foundation for me to have positive thoughts. I usually do my prayers and I follow up with some affirmations, and that's all I'll say about that. But another thing I do that has kept me grounded throughout the years, but also safe, and I have decided to stop playing it safe in 2022, but I place restrictions around my social media usage. This year, I have decided to change some of the restrictions that I have, because the ones that I had previously kept me safe, but also kept me playing small. And in the digital world, I live in the spiritual world, but we also live in a digital world, like in this 3D reality. And I need to show up fully on the platforms in which I present myself, and really just show up wholeheartedly and with no shame, no fear. So this year I have decided to change the way I interact with social media, but I'm still keeping some boundaries intact, of course, just for my own fucking sanity. But if you struggle with a sense of groundedness when you wake up, I would suggest getting a solid routine. Like, everybody talks about their morning routine, this, that, and the third, but it really is important. And like, your brain is in a completely different state when you first wake up in the morning. I believe it's the theta wave state, and really using that time to cultivate the energy that you want to have in your day, and accessing your subconscious mind without the use of social media is so important. Stop getting your first source of dopamine on the day. Sorry, I stuttered when I said that, because I feel so seriously about this, and I do it sometimes too, and I'm really trying to stop. But stop getting your first source of dopamine of the day from Instagram. I don't know about y'all, but when I go on TikTok first thing in the day, like, I'm not necessarily an Instagram girly, but I be on TikTok because TikTok is funny and the TikTok girlies get me. But when I go on TikTok first thing in the day, I find it harder for me to be present and in my body, versus if the first thing I'm getting that energy boost, that dopamine in the morning from, is yoga or from doing my affirmations or scripting. I just feel better when I do that, regardless, in comparison to when I'm scrolling on social media in the first thing in the morning. Like, that That's just not the type of energy that you want to cultivate for your day in the beginning, because the type of energy you cultivate for yourself at the beginning of the day is what is most likely to cultivate for the rest of your day. I would recommend doing something, not necessarily any of the things that I mentioned, like you don't have to get up and do an hour's worth of yoga. I would recommend doing something that makes you feel connected to your source and your divinity inside. Because what happens when you're disconnected from source, you start looking for external things to validate you. And what does that cause? Say it with me, anxiety. And we don't want that. And one last thing, and this is going to be a hot topic, but y'all, I have never been on like a birth control consistently, like, because as soon as I notice some kind of disruption in my vibration, I automatically blame this new influx of hormones. And am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong. I think I'm right too, because for me, birth control impacts me feeling fully in my body. Like my emotions swing out of control like a pendulum, and I just do not like that, and I do not think it's normal like my OBGYN tries to make it seem. So like I have been in and off of it for like a year. Like I'll take a pack, stop, then get worried, start taking it again and stop because I feel like it's fucking with my body. For me, birth control takes me out of my body. I start reacting to things more unconsciously than I usually would. And I really wish I could just make a decision in this matter and stick to it. But I think I really just need to deep delve and learn my body and its rhythms and ebbs and flows so that I know when to stay away from certain activities. But it's something that needs to be learned. And I think there is a lack of transparency from the medical industry, and they need to stop heavily promoting things without fully explaining the effects. Like, you know, especially our generation, you know how many friends I had that had like the depo and like got or an IUD and had horrible effects, impacts. And I also know people who had relatively pleasant experiences, they would like to say, but we just need to explain things fully and stop trying to fearmonger people into taking things and not having other natural options for them. And I know that's a hot topic, but I don't give a damn. And like I said before, I know so many women with birth control horror stories, like before they were even of age. And I won't get into it because women are recommended birth control for so many things, like endometriosis, just like a whole like thing, a heap of issues why people are recommended birth control besides sex. But I do think the full impacts and side effects need to be explored further, and there needs to be more transparency in sex education regarding female anatomy and agency. But until then, like, we can't just put all of the responsibility on the people who are giving us this information and this birth control in order to get profit, because at the end of the day, we live in a capitalist society and everything is driven for profit and not for our actual benefit. So we as women need to take responsibility for the things we put into our bodies and how they impact us. But that first starts by being conscious and acknowledging how you feel on a day-to-day and making changes accordingly. What is your diet like? Not just the food you consume, everything you consume. Your diet is everything. The people you're around, what you watch, what you scroll past, because unconsciously your brain is taking all that information in. And health is so much beyond the physical, beyond what your body looks like. You know what I mean? It's about how you feel metaphysically. And I think becoming aware of your diet is the first step towards being in your body fully. Liberation starts in the body and not the mind. But last thing I want to talk to y'all about before we, you know, begin wrapping up this episode. This has been one of my favorite episodes to record. But we're going to be talking about America's Next Top Model, specifically season 22, which is interesting because I planned this episode like 2 weeks ago, two and a half weeks ago. Basically end of December before we went into January, I had planned to record this episode, and I was planning to talk about America's Next Top Model season 22. Courtney. And guess who popped up on my TikTok for you page yesterday? Courtney. TikTok is so funny. Like I feel like it really, like the computer consciousness that's programmed in order to put things that you watch, that you enjoy to watch on your For You page is out of hand, but it knows what to do to keep you on the app. That's why it's called TikTok. But if you guys watch America's Next Top Model season 22, there's a model there. Her name is Courtney. She's a fabulous model. She just has absolutely no confidence. The judges and her competitors can see it. The girl can take such an amazing photo. She just self-sabotages herself so much and gets into her head and feels like she doesn't belong there. And it ends up sending her home. Some of the models who were there after her did not take better pictures than her. They may have been more conventionally pretty, but Courtney was a model. One of the models, Devin, says she does it to herself, like in one of the confessional episodes. And she does. And watching this kind of broke my heart because she was 19 and I kind of resonated. You have to build that kind of self-confidence for yourself, because no matter how talented you are, if you doubt yourself and your moves, that shows. Especially in pictures, a model's whole job is to take up space. You know what I mean? And I'm somebody who has shied away from taking pictures. And I'm 5'10", right? You know, model-esque. Like, I consider myself beautiful, gorgeous, and model-esque. You know what I mean? But because of my lack of self-confidence through my life, I have shied away from taking pictures. And I hate that. We're gonna change that this year, even though it makes me uncomfortable, but we're gonna change that. Like I said before, a model's whole job is to take up space. And Miss J Alexander told her, she wants her to go to do number one fierce, number two fierce, everything fierce to build up that confidence. And I think that speaks miles outside of modeling. Because no matter how talented you are, if you don't take up the space carved out for you, no one will take it up for you. It's your responsibility to care for your anxieties, your insecurities. No one else is gonna baby you about them. I know it's hard sometimes, but you have to boss up. You gotta boss up. See, the thing about me is I'm tall. Like I just said, I'm 5'10". I naturally take up space. So no matter how much I may have lacked self-confidence in the past, people have always projected that onto me. And you know what? I'm not gonna let people know. Like, I'm a show y'all that I am. And people have always projected this demeanor of confidence onto me just because of how I look and how I present myself. Like, no, I'm not gonna be walking down with my head down and like ooze like lack of self-confidence. That is nasty, like for me personally. And I'm not saying that it's not something that's natural, you know what I mean? But it's something that we have to grow out of together. We're on this journey together, you know? So, and because of this self-confidence that people have tried to project onto me into the past, I, of course, tried to live up to it. But it's not false self-confidence that you need to build. It's real self-confidence that you build by getting out there and doing what it is that you really want to fucking do and having faith that it will work out. And if it doesn't, it opened the door for something that will, feel me? And this requires audacity. Putting yourself out there in any capacity requires audacity. The sheer audacity to say, I take up space and I validate myself. So if you feel in your soul you want to make some art, make some art. Make some bad art, make some good art, and feel all the range of emotions you're supposed to feel. And don't judge it. Just be proud that you had the audacity. And that's something a lot of people never cultivate in their entire lives, always walking down the paths paved for them. But you stepped out and said, hey, this is me, good or bad to you. Accept it or don't, or do nothing with it, whatever. I'm here, I exist, and nobody has a say in that except you and God. Had to be a little burnt for a second. But with that being said, here is a little quick recap of what we talked about today. Today, we talked about what being in your body has to do with presence. We talked about how you can't be operating from outside of your body and be present. And we talked about how not being in your body has you feeling like you are a bystander in your own body, even though you're in control of the show, not your mind. You are in control of the show. And that you need to allow your emotions to flow, but while still being a master of them, by not getting attached to them, validating yourself in all of your emotions, but knowing that you are not the anger, you are not the jealousy, you are not the sadness. These are simply emotions that you have identified flowing throughout your body. And I wanted to touch on that. You know, I said this was a recap, but I actually wanted to touch on that about the jealousy thing. Like, I recently had a friend come up to me and tell me that basically she had a moment of jealousy, like when I first released the podcast. She didn't say it in those terms, but that's basically what I boiled it down to. And at first I was like, what? Like, why would you feel like that? But then I really had to think about it. Like, that is a natural human emotion. And what she said after that was, like, I caught myself and I had to be like, why am I feeling like this? Because she is my reflection. And I feel like that is the most important thing when it comes to having emotions like that. And when you project what's going on in your own body, like internally, externally, into other people that you may care about, that's what's going on. Like, you need to check what's going on internally. And if you're able to check what's going on internally and come to me and be like, I understand, I feel this, like, instead of being fake about it, you know, like, because I've had people around me who have been jealous of me and weren't able to, like, say that they felt that way about me, but then projected it outwards in their actions. But the fact that somebody was able to come up to me and be like, hey, I felt this human emotion. I felt this very human emotion. And I realized that it had nothing to do with you, had nothing to do with, like, what I felt about what you were actually doing, but it had everything to do with me. And that meant the world to me. And that would mean way more to me than somebody ever pretending to come in my face, pretending like they're happy for me, but actually wishing me bad. And that's why I don't believe, like, an evil eye anymore. Like, I used to be like, oh, but she's got the evil eye on me. Like, yeah, probably do. People do. Like, I have a lot of 10th house placements. Scorpio 10th house. Like in three, like, I have a Scorpio stellium in the 10th house. So I understand that that's something natural and that's something that will arise within people. But when you're able to check that within yourself, then we can have a conversation. But don't be projecting what's going on internally to me. Ever. But yeah, tangent done. Let's go back on to the recap. But the ways that you can move these emotions and let them flow through your body rather than in your mind is by intuitively moving your body, dancing, doing yoga, moving your body how you feel without shaming yourself, humming, exercising that throat chakra however you feel moved. But without shame is the key. Being your most authentic self as much as you can until you're that person, you're showing up as that girl every day, no matter how uncomfortable it may feel. And I didn't talk about this, but I wanted to mention this because it's really important. The first time I ever heard this term was about like a year and a half ago about being in your body, and it was from Ethereal Dean. I think some of you may know him now because he's blown up on TikTok and he's more like present in other spaces, but I ran into him way before he ever blew up. And this was the first person I ever heard say this term was him, being in your body. I don't know if he's the person who created this term, but I would love to give him the credit for inspiring me to really check that within myself and kind of inspiring this episode. And we also talked about how body language and how it relates to you being in your body, and how you closing off your body is actually you closing off your heart chakra. We can talk a little bit more about the heart chakra, because I know we talked more about the root chakra and like what that means in this video, because it is the first one. But we also talked about the root chakra, the Muladhara chakra, and how that impacts the stability of the rest of your chakras and can really impact whether or not you feel worthy in this world. We talked about how you can tell whether or not someone is in their body consciously through their body language. Uncomfortable body language can sometimes be because of shame, And when you feel uncomfortable, your body language will inform you and others that you are self-conscious of something, like you're not comfortable in your own skin. So let's work on that. And I don't know if we actually talked about this, but I wanted to touch on this. Our body knows before our minds. Like when you start getting hot, before you are even consciously aware that you are angry, let those emotions flow through your body. But all in all, I don't know if I did like a full recap. I hope I did, but listen to the episode. I hope I did a good enough recap for y'all. But yeah, being in your body will change your life. That's all. Love y'all. Peace.
My name is Yasmin Tiana, and you were listening to Letters from Saturn. Until next time, stay safe and be blessed. See you in the next episode.